Log Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. You just finished up Philadelphia's WWDB. We ant in Cleveland with the American Sports History Podcast. You're probably saying, wait, what about Tuesday? We got Thursday today. Next week it'll be Wednesday. We'll be back regularly scheduled on the 27th on the Cleveland show. So mark that down. I know you're following tremendously, and we appreciate it. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing in Los Angeles. 347-205-9631. 30 minutes goes by quick. Catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So it's more of him, less of me. As I lay the red carpet down, put that podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Peter, one of the best closings in all of the shows. Unbelievable closing. People have been talking about it, and we just love it when it comes up at the end when you do it. But that'll be for 30 minutes from now. Till then, first of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, move over Tim McCarver and Steve Carlton. Your next guest, you guys have been joined at the hip for quite a while.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. The name is Peter space J period space REA. We make history videos. And you're absolutely right. Tonight's guest played Major League Baseball from 1971 to 1981 with the Chicago Cubs, Oakland A's, L.A. Dodgers, and San Francisco Giants. He won two World Series titles in 1973 and 1974. In his career, he stole 395 bases, two-time American League stolen base leader in 1974 and 1976, over 1,000 hits. First A's designated hitter, won a National League title with the Dodgers in 1978, one of the best defensive outfielders in the 1970s. Welcome to the show, Mr. Bill North, for the fifth time.
Hey, Peter, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How is the starting center fielder, leadoff hitter, and World Series champion and member of the coolest baseball team of all time, the Oakland A's of the early 1970s?
I'm wonderful. These suckers, life is good.
Life is good. There you go. Now, we talked last time. We're still talking about your teammates from 1973. And what do you remember about? We're into the bullpen. What do you remember about Daryl Knowles?
Daryl Knowles could get him out. He could pitch the right-handers, not only left-handers, because he had that sinker, but he wore the number 32, and there was a reason, because he always went 3-2 on everybody, because he was a nibbler. You know, he didn't want to throw a strike. If he can get him out without throwing a strike, he's going to do that. But if somebody took the pitch, they're going to go 3-2 if they got him out. He was a good setup man for Raleigh also.
Okay, Horacio Pena.
Submariner, kind of. He did his job. You know, he did a good job. And the thing I'll tell you about that team, they had 25 players, and everybody had a job to do, down to the 25th player. And that's what, so everybody was ready. They knew that they were going to be called on in particular situations, whether it's bunting or getting a stolen base or even, like, you know, the relievers. They knew they were ready when situations came up, which is a compliment to Dick Williams, because he kept everybody alive, and he wanted to, if you didn't play good baseball, you weren't going to play for Dick Williams.
Albert from Poway, California. Nice to hear you fellows again. Can't miss these. The Oakland Athletics were the best team of the 1970s, no doubt. Any response, Bill?
I think if you look at the 1970s, 72 to 74, and even 75, you're talking, if they played in New York or Boston, they would be talking about one of the greatest teams of all time. We were the only other team other than the Yankees to win three in a row, and we could have won more if we didn't start messing around with our roster.
Frank from Delaware County, Pennsylvania. Hey, Bill, how much has baseball changed today in your mind?
Somehow or another, I knew I was going to get this question. And the thing is what they've done to baseball is they've made it a systems game rather than a talented game. By sabermetrics. And it's the kind of thing that is taking away the flash and the talent and the natural ability of players to be able to be creative in how they played the game. Now, the game is to be played in a particular way, but if you have somebody that can do something a little bit extra, you let them do it. And I speak of stolen bases, the hit and run, first to third, and it's changed so much. They don't force the game anymore. They play the percentages. Well, that's good for part of the season, but when you get to the end of it, if you're looking play the same way in the playoffs that you did during the season to get there, that's not good because all good teams are playing in the playoffs. And so they're not going to let you just do what you want. Okay? And that's pretty much it. This change is boring to me.
Too many guys swinging for the fences, too many trying to hit home runs and strikeouts.
Well, the thing is they don't care about strikeouts anymore. I came from an era when you got two strikes on you, you wanted to put the ball in play, okay? Because two out of three things that happen if you put the ball in play are good. You can get a hit or they can make an error, okay? And, there's so many different things that happen when you put the ball in play. I think that shift is an abomination, but I don't think making rules on it is what should happen rather than the players learn to play a more well-rounded game and put the defense in its positions by being able to use the whole field.
Hey, that's back to the 1970s. Go ahead. Okay, back to the 1973 Oakland A's. What do you remember about Paul Lindblad?
He was a good left-handed reliever, too. The funny thing about him is he would all, before the game, before we even got to the stadium, he'd be out there with a metal detector scanning the field to find what the fans had thrown on the field and that kind of, and he come out of there with a pretty good bounty. You know,
okay.
Yeah, good man. He's all right, yeah.
Chuck Dobson.
Chuck could get him out too. Didn't get as much work. You know, he was a specific batter kind of pitcher. You know, Raleigh was the man. Yeah. And going to that bullpen. But, you know, Dick Williams used him well.
So 1973 was some year. The A's repeated, and then and you became the starting center fielder. Then you got hurt in September and couldn't make the play in the playoffs. So that was a shame. And then Dick Williams was resigning at the end of the year. So you know you had this manager who believed in you, and he was leaving. And so do you want to talk about 1973? The overall you went through a lot.
Well. What happened that year was I came over in the fall to the A's, And Dick Williams and them had been trying to get me the year before when I was in the minor league and that, but I fit. And they needed somebody that could play consistent center field and get on the base and that. But the game that Dick Williams was playing fit me because of the fact that I was what they call a heady baseball player. That means you know how to play the game. And he liked that along with my temperament, which was kind of aggressive. But as he gave me the opportunity to play my game, to play. And he didn't allow mistakes, and that's how I finally got in the lineup. Although I knew I was going to be there, he had told me, because I had a good spring, and he wanted me out there. And as it ended up, I was the first designated hitter ever for that team.
Yeah, so next year will be the 50th anniversary of when the A's repeated, so that'll be good. I'm sure you'll go, and that'll be a wonderful, something to look forward to, and want to look forward to hearing all about that. So in 1974, the A's had a new manager, Alvin Dark, who actually managed here. What do you remember about Alvin Dark?
Alvin was a good man. He was he didn't have much to do. You know, we already knew how to play the game. And all he had to do is not mess up. Okay, because we were, as players, we had been taught and were pretty much self-contained with that edict of playing the game right. And we had won with that. But Alvin benefited, I think, from the fact that when one manager, but the manager leaves, his knowledge and his emphasis can at least go for 1 year. And you look at all sports and you'll see that that when somebody leaves and you've been a champion or you've been a winner, that knowledge plays in to the next season. And that's what happened with us. But we could still play after that, but we started, Charlie started taking people away. But we could play the game, and it carried over.
Okay, some of your new teammates, so what do you remember about Claudel Washington?
That was my boy, God rest his soul. He's a good man. And he came in, when he came in, we played, I think it was, I don't know how many innings, but I think it might have been against Cleveland. Gaylord Perry.
Yeah, that's right.
And he pinch hit and drove in the winning run of an extra inning game. And it was, you know, he came up for a 10-day thing because Pat Burke had gotten hurt. And he had told his teammates in the minor league, he said, "Hey, I ain't coming back." And he never did. You know, tremendous athlete, and I kind of raised him. You know, him and Mike North, you know, I kind of took care of him and helped him grow up in the big ones.
Yeah, Claudel had power and speed, and he was in left, you were in center, and you're right. Gaylord Perry was going to for a consecutive win record, and I remember that, watching that game on TV, and that was his first game, and he beat Cleveland and Gaylord Perry. Perry, I think, was still in the game. So Claudel Washington was your good friend who died last year. I'm sorry about that.
He and I had reestablished, you know, it our relationship was what it was, but we started talking a lot more when he was declining. And, I mean, we talked two, three times a day, and that, and I just saw an exhibition of courage that a lot of people would wonder about, because he knew the Lord, so that's a good part.
Yeah, that's the most partner. Important thing.
Yeah, there's a hole in my heart.
What's that?
Yeah, there's a hole in my heart.
Oh, missing Claudel Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, right, yeah. Well, that's how...
I called him Big Face.
What's that?
I called him Big Face.
Big Face?
Yeah.
He did well as a free agent.
Yeah, he did. I mean, we could talk about Claudel all night because that's how much I loved him. But I know he's in a better place, so that's a good thing.
If you have power and speed, you know, that's those two things together, you're going to be in demand. And, he had a good career. And, he made a big impression on me with that first game. And I thought, oh, this guy. And you could tell he was just really, you know, very strong, you know, and very athletic. And apparently,
that you want to see. He could play basketball. I mean, he could do anything that had a ball in it. But he was a natural, okay? He had that, he played on his talent, you know? Being the head of the outfield, I kind of put him in positions where he was supposed to be and that. But as far as native talent, native ability, this guy was one of the best athletes I ever saw.
So you guys had the left side of the outfield well covered, center and left.
Well, I played center and right, and he played left.
Yeah, what an outfield. Claudel Washington, Bill North, and Reggie Jackson. Man.
Before that, it was Joe Rudy, Bill North.
Right, yeah, sure.
Jackson.
Rudy could play, yeah.
If you looked at that whole game right there, that was one of the best outfields in the game.
Earl from Visalia, California. How much money is being thrown around these days? Bill, get the uniform back on.
If they just throw me fastballs, well, I used to say that. That might have been 10, 15 years ago. But if they just threw me fastballs, I'd hit you 260, 270. But I take that minimum salary in a minute.
Rex from Warren, Ohio. Claudel Washington had a great arm. I remember him well from the Atlanta Braves as well.
Well, he was, like I said, he was a gifted player. And he had his own mind, but he could do it all. He had 5-2. He wasn't so much of a home run hitter as much as he was. He'd use the whole field, okay? He was a player, yeah. Hey, man, you talking about the subject. This guy right here had a personality and a single-mindedness that he knew he couldn't be beat, okay? He came up. He wasn't in awe of the big leagues at all. And he knew that was where he was supposed to be. And when he got there, he stayed.
Yeah, the A's were already a very strong team. Then they had this. They had Claudel Washington. They kept adding these, you know, they added you and Claudel Washington and kept getting, getting better.
Yeah, well, they had the core. Before I got there, those guys, Bando and Reggie and Vida and Catfish, you know, they had pretty good team before I got there, and I just added another facet of the defense in center field and on base percentage, you know, and stealing bases. But it wasn't like I was, I mean, and the way those guys were, they were very confident. And I fit because I was confident, you know, to the fact that this is the big leagues. I know I'm supposed to be here. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to talk more about Claudel Washington again. How about Darren Johnson? What do you remember about Darren Johnson?
Quiet man. Good, wonderful person. And he could hit. He came from Philadelphia. But he was a veteran, and he was a hitter that, you know, he wasn't gonna bat you a lot because he was slower than a snail, but he got some big hits. He got some big hits. Yeah.
How about Jim Ray Holt?
Jimmy Holt.
Come on, man.
Jimmy Holt was from the South, and he was country as a watermelon sandwich, but he was a wonderful. He's a good dude. He's got some big hits. He could hit. Came from Minnesota and that, but you just brought a smile to my face. Jim Holt was a good person. He could hit. He ain't going to steal you no bases, though.
How about Phil Garner?
What they call him? They call him
Scrap Iron.
Scrap Iron. There you go. Did he play in Cleveland?
No.
Oh, okay. But he was coming up, and he came up, and eventually inherited Dick Green's job. You know, but he was a good player and did. And he had that what's the guy with the in the cartoons with the mustache, short guy. I can't remember, but he looked like him because he had that mustache too. But Phil Garner was out of Tennessee, and he was a good player and came into his own eventually and did a good job.
So in 74, it was Dick Green, the second baseman, but they were bringing in Garner, was looking to take his job.
Well, yeah, but Dick did, that's a tough job to take.
Okay.
You know, and Dick kind of couldn't run, couldn't throw, couldn't hit, but every time I look up, because I was in the on-deck circle every time he was there because he batted ninth. And I just saw him get so many big hits. He's the one that hit the home run that Bobby Valentine tore up his leg on. He went into the fence.
Garner hit that one. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Green did. And he that was sad. That was one of the worst injuries. I saw it.
Uh-huh.
Taking him off the field, I looked at it, and it was one of the worst injuries I ever saw. You know, his bone was sticking out of his leg.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It was Joe Theismann had that same kind of injury.
Right.
Yeah. When he went for the ball was gone, but when he went for the ball, he went into that cyclone fence, spike first, and the spike cocked.
Mm.
You picture that, the cyclone fence, and uh-huh. going into with all those holes there, and then it caught as your body is going continuing on.
Right.
And snap the thing right here.
Oh, my God.
Worship.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's ugly. Yeah.
How about Rich McKinney? That name ring a bell?
Yeah. Rich was a dude. Rich, he had a good party. He had a good party. He was kind of like a free spirit, wore puka shells and that kind of stuff. But he was a good dude too. Him and Jay Johnstone were they hung out together. They were like two kind of beats. Although McKinney was from the Midwest. Yeah.
How about Herb Washington?
Now you're talking. Is it one of my favorite people in the world? We still talk. Came into the game as a track star, designated runner. He stole
right.
something like 29 bases that year, and some of them were really big bases. And I don't care what they say, when he got picked off in the World Series by Mike Marshall, there were a lot of players that would have been picked off. He set him up real good.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But the one thing about Herb, he didn't have that baseball skin.
Right.
You know, he's sliding. And when he used to slide, he didn't know how. Boy, he used to take plugs out of his leg. I mean, his hip and stuff. That, you know, because his skin wasn't tough. And boy, they had to patch him up and put some over. But he finally realized, I told him. I said, you know what? I was the first one to kind of do that. I put silk inserts into place on my pants where I slide to reduce the friction, okay? And he eventually got the silk inserts in there and stopped scarring up so much, taking them, they call them strawberries. You know, that plugs the skin off of you. But, and ran the bases at 90-degree angle, but Aussie showed us a sprinter start in the locker room one time, and those first three, four steps were as explosive as I've seen anything. You have no idea the difference between somebody being fast and somebody being a world-class sprinter. There's a lot of power and energy in that takeoff. And it was amazing. But Herb took his money, cut a good deal with Charlie, and Herb nixed the deal and was leaving town, and Charlie called him at the airport and told him, hey, you play poker? And Herb said, yeah, on occasion. He said, well, you know what? That was a good move you made. And you won that hand and signed it. And he was making good money, more than the average. And then he got that World Series share, and he went back home, bought two McDonald's, and he just left McDonald's because they had a dispute, but at one point owned 29 McDonald's.
Okay. Wow.
And just if you ever look at his Wikipedia, he was also head of the Fed, you know, interest rates money management in New York for a while. And he owned a piece of the hockey team in Cincinnati. And Herb has done real well. And if you look up net worth, it's over $50 million.
Yeah, I heard. I didn't know. Wow, that's a lot of dough. I'd heard he'd done well. Bill, time has flown by. Our guest has been Mr. Bill North, who played Major League Baseball from 1971 to 1981. He was a starting center fielder and leadoff hitter for the Oakland A's, the coolest team of all time in the early 1970s. Three straight World Series championships, green and gold uniforms, mustaches, just the most interesting, entertaining, and coolest team of all time. And we've tonight we've got the center fielder and leadoff hitter. Bill, do you have any final words tonight for our audience?
I'm just glad to be able to talk to him and you, Peter, and I appreciate letting me run off at the mouth. And thank you, guys. Keep coming. You got a good man in Peter.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it's a gift having you on. Just a wonderful, wonderful experience. I love hearing, especially your talking about Claudel Washington, Herb Washington, all these stuff. So it's just amazing, amazing having you on the show. Next week wasn't able to get Warren Brewster, trying to get Chris Pirtle from Vero Beach, Florida. According to Mark Mancini, this guy knows sports. Well, that'll be next Wednesday at 7:30. And in 2 weeks, in 12 days from now, we'll have Bill North again. So that's amazing. And dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks again, Mr. Bill North.
Thank you.
Wonderful.